Hello? Is this on? It's on? Okay. How many enjoyed Pastor Rinaldo's message last week? It had so many like zingers within it, you know, but it was really good. And one of the things I liked, it says the measure that you, and I know this, but I need to hear it again, right? The measure that you trust God to love you in everything is the measure that you can love others. Just let God love you. You know, so if you want love for other people, you need to go and get some love for yourself from God, and he'll give it to you. And when we were in Uricon, Pastor Mati, he's a Finnish guy that's a pastor in Oman, he said this little one-liner as part of his message, and I was like, wow. He said, if someone is in love with God, a lot of things don't matter. And it's like, it's got a lot of depth to it. And someone asked Pastor Mati in Oman, said, where's your church? And he said, it's in us, in our hearts. And of course, he's in Oman, a Muslim country. He's not going to tell them where his church is, you know, where they meet. But the church is the people, right? And it's true that we gather because of love in our hearts. It's not eating and drinking. Right, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Our fellowship is not eating and drinking. I mean, it is, but like we were talking, like Fred was saying, the spiritual food is much better. And see if this thing works. Yeah. So yesterday we had a men's breakfast, and John got the big knife. He drew the big knife, and how many were there? Like 15, 20 or something? 12? Okay, I'm bad at numbers. But yeah, it was a good time. Good food, but the word is much sweeter. It's much tastier than bacon. And the bacon was really good, by the way, Fred. Yeah, the steak too. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's just like it comes with it, but that's not it. And and like, why do we come here? Why do we call this church? Why do we come to church? Because we have the love of God in our hearts, and we want to be with God's people. And we want to worship him together. And the church is a spiritual, the church is a spiritual entity, not a religious organization. I changed that. It's not an entity. The church is a spiritual, like, organism. It's alive, and it's spiritual, but it is a religious organization, just like we eat and drink and have fun, but that's not the church. The church isn't this building. It's not the organization. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual organism. And what do we think of when we think of church activities? Well, men's breakfast, the big old picture there. That's what you're thinking of. But what do we think of when we think of church activities? Like, music ministry, outreach, church service, Thursday night service, singles group, women's Bible study, prayer meeting, a youth group. We don't have one, but we think we should have one. You know, we think of activities, right? But we could go through the motions with these, and churches that don't even know God could have activities, right? And there's schedules and there's events. And next Sunday we're having a luncheon. That's on the schedule, right? And there's events. But these are, think of them as opportunities for ministry. Think of them as opportunities to minister grace, joy, loving, learning to be thankful, forgiveness, And ministry comes from a relationship with God. Remember I was talking about what Pastor Ronaldo said? I'll probably get the quote wrong, but basically if we want to love others, we need to receive love for ourselves. In the measure we receive God's love, then we have the capacity to love others. And so any ministry we have, if we want to minister grace to someone else, we need to be receiving grace for ourselves. And we need it. Like we all need it. And we need this relationship with God, and he empowers us for ministry. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the verse of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for what? Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the saints are being equipped, and we are the saints. And what is the work of the ministry? Is it events for the sake of events? Is it a social club? Is it a building? You know, there are many words to describe, like grace, love, joy, thankfulness, forgiveness. And then the rest of verse 12, why is the work of the ministry? For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. And it refers to us as the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. Equipping for the work of the ministry. So what is our ministry? What is your ministry? To build up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is our building project. We're building up the body of Christ. It's a building project. And it's a spiritual edification. There's a spiritual house. It's a spiritual edification. In the Spirit, we're being built. It's a building in the Spirit. And so the building that we are building is a spiritual building. And our ministry is to build the body of Christ. And it's a spiritual building. And the way we do that is with words like we used. The ministry. What are God's thoughts? Like his primary thought might be love, right? What are God's thoughts? Those should be our thoughts. But we don't have those thoughts unless we get them from God. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We have, oh, I need to love. Let me see how I can love. Well, that's good to brainstorm naturally how we can love, but it's something spiritual. It's intangible. You can't touch it. And we don't really have it unless we get it from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives it to us to minister. And so what is your ministry? It's building up the body of Christ. And a lot of words can be used for that. Here's one, compassion. Compassion, like, what is God's mind on the subject? Well, Jesus had compassion. Matthew 9:26, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And so when we are in love with him, whatever pleases him pleases us. Right? He has compassion. It pleases us to have compassion. And in this case, it's for the lost or the ones that have gone astray. But he also has compassion for the sick. There are verses in the Bible that say he has compassion for the sick. He has compassion. And our whole reason for everyone ever wanting to gather in the first place, hopefully, is because we've fallen in love with God. And maybe it was out of some sort of religious requirement, and then you fall in love with God. But it should be the whole reason you keep wanting to come back is because you fall in love with God. You fall in love with God. And we don't come to church simply because we love the pastor. I hope that's not why you're here. I hope you're called to be here. We don't come because we love the music. I hope that's not why you're here. We don't come even because we love each other. I hope that's not why you're here, like a social club or you need something. I hope it's because you love God. And in loving God, you love the pastor, you love me, and you love the music, and you love each other. I hope that. You know, it's because we love God. If someone's in love, a lot of things don't matter. So I got my feelings hurt. But am I in love with God? Now, this is kind of, I thought, should I give this analogy? Because it's really not true in my life. It might be true for Legia, but not for me. So you're in love with somebody, and you go to the in-laws' house, and you get your feelings hurt. But you're still in love with your husband or wife, right? And you go back to the in-laws' house, and you work at it. And you try to make them like you because why? Because you love the person and you want to love the in-laws, right? It's like you just do that. And because when you're in love, a lot of things don't matter. Like, they can rub me the wrong way, but I'm doing it for my wife. But I don't have any problems with my in-laws. That's not a good example for me because we have a great relationship. But it could be for somebody, and you get the point, right? When you're in love, a lot of things don't matter. You can look over things. And love doesn't always have to be right. You could be right about whatever argument you got into, but you don't need to be right. You can just drop it, you know, and just love them. So Luke 10:38-42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. If someone's in love, a lot of things don't matter, even things that should matter. It should be mattering to serve. I mean, especially in this culture, I think, that you're supposed to help the family and you're supposed to be a good host. And the family is supposed to be a good host. And all that applies. But she's sitting at Jesus' feet not being a good host. Just listening, just eating it up. And love does serve, but to sit at Jesus' feet, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words and hear his voice. She had this love where nothing else mattered, even good things, because the best thing mattered. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And it was probably the custom for the older sister to boss the younger sister around, too. And she should have listened, right? According to Martha. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." And, you know, we could preach a whole message on this, but just kind of stand with just the love and the importance. Don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about it. Not don't do it, but don't worry about it when you're serving Jesus. Just serve and listen. And we need to be still in our hearts too. And also think about it too. If somebody else is serving Jesus in their own way and it's not some sort of sin or something and they're serving Jesus, don't worry about them. Let them serve Jesus. And in this story, Mary chose the better way, right? But then when Lazarus dies and Jesus comes, the first one to come running out is Martha. You know, so different situations, different circumstances. Another thing in Pastor Ronaldo's message I like, he talked about it, he might not have quoted it. Faith working through love. And remember the guy that couldn't smoke the book of John? Like, he gave him the Bible, and the guy said, "I'm just going to use it for rolling papers." He said, "Well, promise me you'll read it before you roll it." He went through Matthew, went through Mark, and he got to John 3:16, and he just couldn't smoke it. The love of God got a hold of him, and he got saved. And the love that got a hold of him produced a desire. He saw Jesus love him, and then he had a desire, and he trusted him. And that trust is like faith. You know, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He had the faith to receive him as his Savior. And so when I heard he was going to speak on that, how many thought they knew what the message was, kind of? A little bit, they're like, oh, John 3:16, I know that one. You know, like, but I kind of didn't. There were so many zingers in there, like, I didn't really know where he was going with the message, but I thought I did. And that's called familiarity. And we got to be careful with that. We have to be careful that we don't take things for granted. Like, we love the word, right? Be like, oh, I know that. I know that. Well, God can show you something fresh and something new that you've known many years. You've read many times. You've memorized over and over. And God can just, like, be like, boom, here's something fresh. And so the same thing with a relationship with God or your wife or husband or whatever, your kids. Like, don't take them for granted, right? There could be something fresh in there and look for it. How about a ministry in the valley? What would your ministry be in the valley? Your valley or someone else's valley? Did you know that you can encourage other people when you're going through a valley? Because when you start pointing a finger, you ever heard this? You point a finger, you got three fingers pointing back at you. You say something bad about somebody, you got three fingers pointing back at you. They say, don't do that. Never point the finger. Unless you say, God loves you. Because then it's three fingers pointing back at you. Yeah, God loves me too. So actually, when you discourage, when you try to encourage somebody else with the word, you end up encouraging yourself. He who waters will also be watered. And it's a great blessing to do that. But also, if you see somebody discouraged and you're not discouraged, you could encourage them. And encouragement helps our faith. You know, Jacob, he worked 7 more years for Rachel. I'm sure he didn't like it, but a lot of things don't matter when you're in love, right? Like, he did it. And if someone's in love, a lot of things don't matter. Oh, there's John 3:16. So you got the love, and you got the beliefs. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. These are the religious leaders of the time. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. I believe in a tithe, that we should do it out of our heart, not in a legalistic sort of way. But you should give 10% to God and then whatever else you want to give to. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And so we can see our old sin nature in this, right? And Cain attempted to please God in the flesh, and we can do that too. We can come here and play church. We can come here and be religious, right? Or we can come here because we love God. And that's why we come here, ultimately. Because when I play church, I just get frustrated. I don't want to play anymore. It's no fun. You know, when you're just pretending to be religious, I can't stand it. I'd rather just leave. But instead of leaving, like, maybe change your heart attitude. Like, guard your heart, for out of your heart spring the issues of life, right? Like, turn your heart toward God and then, like, start receiving from God. And don't make it a religious exercise. We come because we're in love. We come here for the weightier matters. If the chairs were not comfortable, would you still come? Yeah. If the heat or the AC pretty soon wasn't working very good, would you still come? Yeah, we'd still come. Because we come for the weightier matters. And because if someone's in love with God, the chairs don't matter. Back to the verse. You pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin. It's herbs, like little things, little herbs. They're like paying a tithe on it. And so it's like if you pay the tithe of salt and pepper. Yeah, salt and pepper. Pay the tithe on it. But you say, honey, I'm going to cook dinner tonight. And you bring some salt and pepper. But you forget the steak. Just some salt and pepper. The salt and pepper just doesn't cut it, right? Forget the steak. But bigger than that, you neglect the person you're eating the steak with, right? And in my heart, I say, this is important. This is really important. While I forget about this and this, or I don't forget that and I forget about this. Like, this is important. It is important, right? Everybody likes salt and pepper, hopefully. But it's not important in the bigger scheme compared to the bigger thing. In my heart, I say, this is important. And God says, no, this is important. And I say, no, this. And God says, no, this. We might say time is important. My time is important. And God says, no, this is important. We might say money is important. My money is important. And God says, no, this is important. We might say the mileage on my car is important. And God says, no, this is important. We might say, and this is near and dear to my heart, the crumbs in my car are important. A lot of people like leaving trash and crumbs in my car. And I'm like, so if you ever ride with me, just take your trash with you when you go. But anyway, and try not to drop crumbs. And if you do, pick them up. But in the grand scheme of things, they're not important. You know, they're not important. But they're important, but they're not important. And so we might say crumbs are important. God says, no, this is important. Or even a doctrinal issue. Tithing on little things is important. And God says, no, this is important. This is important. Yeah, tithe on the little things. Yeah, don't drop crumbs in Pastor Tom's car. Yeah, you know, do this, do that. But this is important. This is really important. And we say to tithe the mint is important. Mint. Maybe not the anisakrum, but the mint. You got to tithe that. And God says, the weightier matters. And by the way, tithe the mint too. But your focus is all wrong. The weightier matters. So the subject is tithing. And God says, I'm going to change the subject to weightier matters. The subject's salt and pepper. But I'm just skipping over the steak and I'm going to the person you're eating with. I'm changing the subject. And we say, this is important. And God says, compared to what? Compared to what? That's little herbs. That's little herbs. Not compared to the weightier matters. And we could insert some words there, right? Love, fellowship, joy. Are they not weightier? Forgiveness, love again. And insert love in between every other word. Compassion, are they not weightier? So Jesus is changing the subject altogether from tithing, and he actually brought the subject up, and then he changed it. Isn't that interesting? A lot of times we don't even know what question to ask. He'll ask the question and answer it. And justice, you know, I'm not talking about social justice or you being a victim. Jesus wasn't a victim. The justice was at the cross to satisfy God, the propitiation for our sin, the penalty, the punishment, the justice comes at the cross. And people will stand before God one day. Is this a weightier matter? Than some mint and cumin? People are going to stand before God and be judged. And at the great white throne judgment, it says they're going to try to flee from his presence and there'll be nowhere for them to go. Very important. God is holy and he has a justice. And they'll be sent to hell. And, you know, we don't use those words much anymore. Lost. People are lost, or hell. But those are in the Bible. Those are in the Bible. There will be justice. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only way to get in the book of life is to have the justice on the cross. Have that applied to you. And then mercy. And mercy. These words are redder. It just means that Jesus said them. That's in my Bible, they're red. Mercy. We need mercy. Christ paid it all so that justice is not compromised and we can be justified. And that's mercy. We deserve to go to hell, and we're not going to go to hell because he paid for us on the cross. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. He doesn't give us the punishment we deserve because he took justice on his son. And then faith. And we could go on and on, Hebrews 11, and on about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, you can tithe on your every little, you can do every little, try to do everything right. Just get everything right. And not trust God. You're trusting yourself. It's in your own strength. You think you're good enough, but to trust God. Don't trust your own strength. Trust him. And then that's how we get saved, through faith. We need to listen. We need to be humble enough to hear, to have faith. And then don't look at sight. Look at the weightier matters. The eternal things are weightier. And what is it? 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. We do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So which is more weightier? Something temporary or something eternal? Something eternal. By faith. Mason used to say this, and I found out, I heard somebody else in Baltimore preach it, and I was like, wait a minute, Mason said that. And I found out it's by Billy Sunday. But anyway, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And you're invited by the one you love, and the weightier matter is to be with him. To be invited by him and to be with him. There's a gathering. There's his body. Like, we love him, and that's why we want to come and be with his people, right? And but there's many excuses. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. Well, that's probably pretty curious, you know, kind of, it's important to him, his ground, but God says it's an excuse. The one that said, I bought a yoke of oxen, I'm going to test them. You know, apply that to anything else in your life, you know. We buy things and we like to try them out, right? And then the other one said, I've married a wife. And that sounds like a legit excuse. That sounds legit. You know, I've got some sentimental stuff going on. I've got responsibilities. And I have to be with my wife. And it said the master of the house was angry. He invited him to be with him. And it said that he came to divide, like husband and wife and father and children. And, you know, like he divides families like that somehow because they don't want to walk with God. And we say, this is more important. And he says, no, coming with me is more important. You can sleep later. And Dean said yesterday at the breakfast, he's like, I don't know. I got up early, came to this breakfast. I'm going to stay up real late and watch the Duke game. I don't know if I can come 2 days in 1 week. But he decided it was more important to come here and he can sleep later. He can take a nap later. Like, this is more important than sleep. And those excuses are real, but they are mint, anise, and cumin. And mint, anise, cumin is real, and we need to pay attention to that. But really, when it's compared to the weightier matters, we don't. But we should, but not compared to the weightier matters. The waiter matter is to spend time with me, says Jesus. And the woman with the alabaster flask, if someone is in love, a lot of things don't matter. And there's actually two stories of this. One of them's in Luke, and the other one's in the other three Gospels. And one of them took place at Simon, a Pharisee's house named Simon, in Galilee. An unnamed woman, they call her a sinner. That's us, right? Every one of us here is a sinner. And hopefully we love Jesus. And the other one took place in Bethany. And I looked it up. Bethany's down near Jerusalem. It's nowhere near Galilee. So it's not the same house, even though it's the same name. It's Simon the leper's house. I was like, well, maybe the Pharisee was a leper. But no, it was in a different spot. So it's a different story. But so these two stories are very telling. The woman who was a sinner brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them. So she anointed his feet with fragrant oil. And it doesn't say how expensive it was, but she anointed his feet with fragrant oil. And then the Pharisee who had invited him spoke to himself, said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. And then Jesus talks about some things about that. To those who are forgiven much, love much. So he's saying, yeah, she's a sinner, but she's been forgiven and she's got a lot of love. And then he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. And the Pharisee, he thought he did the weightier things, right? He thought, I'm hosting this guy. It's my food he's eating. I'm doing the weightier things. But Jesus says the weightier things are the heart, not your actions. Like maybe you're hosting him because you want to get in good with his group. Or you like the social aspect. But she's all about Jesus. Her heart is about Jesus. And then he says, you gave me no water for my feet, which I think it was customary to, you know, they get all tired and dusty walking in those sandals and they let them wash their feet or even wash them for them if they want to really honor them or have their servant wash them. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. And so this lady, not only did she do these things, the craziness of them just proves, and this is why I think this story is here, it just proves that she was like recklessly like in love with Jesus. Like when you're in love, a lot of things don't matter. And it just didn't matter. She's just going to make a spectacle of herself, get on her knees, wash his feet with her hair and her tears and anoint them. And she didn't care what anybody thought. And like, there used to be this lady, I'd go visit Baltimore, and she'd be in the front just dancing away, and nobody else was dancing. And it kind of annoyed me. I was like, what is she doing? Like, she needs to get in the unity, you know? And then after a while, it just blessed me. I was like, look, she's praising God. Who cares? She doesn't care what anybody thinks, you know? It's like, okay, you know, God bless her, you know? And maybe this story convicted me. I don't know. But it blesses me to see her like that. And so from the inside, she worshiped. So let's make it a little bit more confusing. Put the other one in here. And so this is the story we talked about, Martha and Mary. And then Lazarus was their brother that Jesus raised from the dead. And so Matthew 26:6-13, Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. A woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And this is the lady who sat at his feet and heard In the first story we talked about Martha and Mary. She was hearing. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? Why this waste?" Have you ever thought that sometimes? Like, wait a minute. I gave my money to that missionary and he's eating at this fancy restaurant. You know, should I give my money to him? You're like, I give it to God. You're like, whatever he does with it, that's not, like, I pour it out on him. Let him eat it. Like, whatever. It's between him and God. But I know, like, if I know his heart and I know he's after God, those little mint and cumin things don't even matter. You know, it's like he's like doing a great work and I'm over here consumed with mint and cumin, you know. And they became indignant saying, why this waste? And then one of the, either John or Mark, it says Judas said it. But it says they were indignant. So everybody was thinking it and Judas said it. For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much more and given to the poor. So Mary had weightier matters in her heart. They had logic in their mind, right? It was logical to do it this way. But if someone's in love with God, a lot of things don't matter. The cost didn't matter to Mary. She was pouring it out. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always." And you do, but not like that. "But in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." And she was probably unaware of it, too. But Jesus was aware of it. Like, he had the need at the time. He knew he was going to the cross. And this really honored him, this lady's heart. The Spirit had told, was like leading her to just give everything to Jesus. And Jesus is like getting ready to sweat blood and going to the cross. And this lady does that. It was a huge honor to him. And he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her." And did I read that right? Look it up in your Bible. It says to her. A memorial to her. Not a memorial to Jesus. Not a memorial to the cross. Not a memorial to the body. A memorial to her. Like, what other person in the Bible has a memorial to them? There might be a couple, but I don't know. You know, like, I'd have to think and research on that. But whatever other person, it says Jesus is saying, or God is saying, this is a memorial to you. And it's written to memorialize you. It's like, wow, what an honor. And, you know, in the psalm, sometimes after a psalm, it says Selah. It means, like, pause and think about this. They should have Selah at the end of that verse. What she's done is a memorial to her. Think about that. Think about that. Like, her heart just totally toward God. The weightier matters for God. And love for Jesus is more important than money. Check our heart. Love is more important than logic. You know, the disciples are using their logic. Could have used it for this or that. Well, love has reasons that reason knows nothing about. And logically, there's a lot of good we could do with the money we waste on Jesus, right? But following Jesus recklessly, like Peter, stepping out of the boat, walking on water when Jesus tells him to. Like, in one sense, if I was there and Jesus told me to, I would too. Right? We all would. But in another sense, that's kind of crazy. You know, like, but to actually do it, following him with the weightier matters. Mary's paying attention to the right weightier matters is consumed by Jesus from the inside out. You see it on the outside, but you know by how crazy it is. It's on the inside. It's the inside out. And let us be consumed with the weightier matters and not leave the rest undone. You can tithe your innocent cumin and don't leave cookie crumbs in my car. You can do that too. But, you know, the weightier matters. Pay attention. Not be familiar with our own heart. Like, let's pay attention to it. The weightier matters, like justice, mercy, faith. One day we will meet our Maker. We need mercy and a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the one. We need to trust Him. It's so weighty, so important. And as we walk with God, too. And the love for the lost, too. He has compassion. He has love for the lost. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Why doesn't the whole world go to heaven? Because there's more to the verse. That whosoever believes in Him, the other way to matter, faith, should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord, may we be consumed with You. You are the weightier matter and every aspect of Your character that comes with it. But may we receive Your love, continually receive Your love in a great, great measure, and have that measure to love other people too, to forgive other people, to be thankful for You, to have compassion, to be conscious of justice, and just how great and holy You are, and what a great thing it was that You went to the cross, and how much You paid, and how much Your love is for us. And we trust You, and we believe in You, and we walk by faith before You, and nothing else matters because we love You, Lord. If there's anybody here today who's never received the love of God like that, it says salvation is a gift. He wants to give it. You just need to receive it. As many as call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call on Jesus. Call on Him. Ask Him to save you. Tell Him you believe that He paid for your sins on the cross and you received the gift. Help us to not just think of weightier matters on Sunday morning or when we're in a group meeting, but when we're alone, when we're in the car, during the week. We want to be consumed with You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.